Good morning. If you will, turn your song books to 297. Good to see everyone this morning. Speaker this morning is Daryl Hurst. And good to have him and Karen with us. And our visitors, good to have you with us. You're always welcome. 297. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Our dear God and Father, which art in heaven, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this another day of life. We thank you for being our God and our Creator. And everything we have comes from you, physical blessings and the spiritual blessings in Christ. We thank you for being able to be here. We pray for less fortunate that can't or have fallen away and need to come back. We pray they'll do so before it's too late. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to live for you. We pray that everything will be taught this morning and be according to your word. We thank you for Daryl coming and Karen. We pray you'll be with him and help him. We thank you for him preaching the truth and be able to do it in the future, many years to come. And other gospel preachers is preaching the truth. God, we pray if there's anyone here who's never obey the gospel, been baptized into Christ, that this is the day they do it. We do not know what tomorrow holds. And we pray that you'll forgive us of our sins and be with all the sick. We thank you for Dave Hall being here again today and Rosa. Help him continue to get strong and Holly get stronger and well, going through a lot. And others, Father, so many. Bonnie going through a lot. Thank you for Jesus, your Son. In his name we do pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning is taken from John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. John chapter 1, 40 through 42. The Bible says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. If you will, turn your Bibles to, or psalm books, to 545. And well, since I led this song, but it's a good one, so Please help and sing out.
Beautiful robe so white, beautiful land of light, beautiful home so bright, where there shall come no night. Beautiful crown I'll wear, shining and bright over there, yonder in mansions there, gathered us there. Beautiful robe,
privileged to be with you folks once again this day, and it's a joy that my wife and I look forward to every time that we're able to come over here and be with you. Now, I don't know what you think about it, but I think it's a pretty day outside. Now, a lot of people would say, no, it's not, and I can understand those that may have flooding problems. I've got a sister that's got that issue. But you know, in the middle of August, when it's 100 degrees outside, you're going to be glad that this rain fell to keep you with water, especially those of you who have your own wells at your home and you're not on a city system. But it's good to see all of you here today. To those that are watching us on the digital format, we're glad that you're here, you're watching us. We would hope that if you're living in the area, that you'd be able to come and worship with us sometime and enjoy the service that way. There's just something to being with brothers and sisters in Christ, the fellowship, the laughing, the talking about things that are happening, whether it's in the community or in the country, or even questions from the Bible that we sometimes discuss. That is just a little bit better when you're able to be here. But if you're not able, we're still glad that you're joining us on the Facebook or whatever the format might be that you're watching. Last time I was here, we talked about the 12 apostles in general. Just kind of looked some highlights, some maybe brought up some things that you didn't think about, or no, we didn't get into all those specifics. We're going to talk about Simon, also known as Peter. He's probably of the original 12, if not the most thought of, probably one of the top two, with John being the other one. But we're going to take the time to look at Simon Peter this day. His name, of course, as we know it, his original, his given name wasn't Peter. His given name was Simon, which is a derivative of the Old Testament name of Simeon. Now, Simeon, if you were, we were to take the time to go back over to Genesis chapter 29, verses 31 through 33, we would find that listed that he is the second son of Jacob and Leah. If you remember the story of Jacob, he met Rebekah, wanted to marry her. He worked 7 years for what he thought was Rebekah, but when the time period was over, as their customs were, he was given Leah for wife. It says that Leah, basically, we would say she was not as pretty as Rachel. I think I said Rebekah, but I meant Rachel. And because she wasn't loved by Jacob, Leah wasn't, that the Lord opened her womb but closed her sister's. She had the son of Simeon. He was the second one. The Greek name that we use is Simon. That's how we have that happen to be in the New Testament. The meaning of the name is he has heard, or it's what Leah said, God has heard. He has heard that I was unloved. And he had given her, at this point in time, a second son. It wasn't uncommon for God to change names in the Old Testament. He changed the name of Abram to Abraham, to Sarai, to Sarah, to Jacob, to Israel, just to name a few. Christ changed Peter's name, changed Simon's name to Cephas, or as we would say today, Peter. It means a stone. Now, I've got on the board there a couple of commentaries that I oftentimes look at and do research from. This one is from a gentleman named Ellicott. He puts this statement on it, which I think clears up maybe and maybe makes it a little bit easier. As Jesus looks at him, Mr. Ellicott said, "Thou art now hearer," or Simon, okay? And then he goes on and he says, "the son of Jehovah's grace," referring to the name that Leah had given. "But from henceforth thou shalt be called Rockman," or Cephas. Burton Kaufman in his commentary tells us that Cephas is a Syriac word, and it is the equivalent to the Greek word of Petros, which we render as Peter. Both names mean a portion of a rock. Petra is also can be used from Cephas. Petra means a rock. Jesus did not call Peter Petros. He would have called him, as we have it here, Petros, a piece of a rock. Peter was the latter, not the former. Simon's name was changed from hearer to Petros, or Peter, small rock, or stone. We could name things for Peter from now till sundown, and we would not cover all the things that you would read in the New Testament. But a few of them tells us that Peter and his brother Andrew were fishermen. They were called by Jesus. Peter was married. We know that because it says that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Let's go over there for just a second. I want to read a little bit from this passage. Talks about the time where Peter walked on the water. Now, sometimes Peter gets a bum rap on this. A bum rap that I don't think he deserves. When you go to Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. "Now it was in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea." So in other words, in the boat, which Jesus had told them to get in earlier back there in verse 22, as they were going across the water when nighttime came, everybody, certain fellows had a watch, probably 2 hours each. And we are in the fourth watch of the night. And in fact, when you go back to verse 24, it talks about the fact that it was out in the middle of the sea, tossed, and the winds were contrary. In other words, the winds were going against the way they were going. And it was the fourth watch, and in verse 26, they see Jesus walking to him on the sea. They are troubled. It's a ghost. What do you think we would have thought? Would we have thought anything different? Oh, well, we're too sophisticated in this day and age. We know there are no ghosts. Well, if you're out there in the middle of the water and you see someone walking to it, you're going to probably change your mind in a hurry. They cried out, "It's a ghost." They cried out for fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. And he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." I want to stop us right there. I want to go back to the verse. Peter looks out there and he sees it. He hears Jesus' voice. Peter, James, and John, we know those three, it seemed, had an unusual relationship with Jesus. Oftentimes when Jesus did things, he took the three of them, as when he did on the Mount of Transfiguration. In this case, Peter's the only one who speaks up. He said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you." And Jesus went, "Okay, come on out." And what did Peter do? He stepped out and walked on the water. Now, we oftentimes talk about the fact that, he sunk. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But he walked on the water. How far? We don't know. Was it as far as me to this front pew? Was it as far as me to the back of the building? Was it as far as me to the other end of the lot over here? All we know is he had Jesus in sight. He could see Jesus, and Jesus said, "Come out and walk." And Peter walked. We have no idea how far, but he did something that none of the other disciples there in that boat, the 11 of them, had enough courage to do, and that was get out of the boat. So now let's go back to verse 30. And when Peter saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now stop and think about that. He had walked somewhere, 4, 5 steps, 100 steps, we don't know. But for whatever reason, he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he began to sink because he wasn't looking at what he needed to look at. He looked down and he began to sink. But then he had the rightness of mind to say, "Lord, save me. Help." Years ago, I heard Dr. James Dobson on one of his programs talk about his son. His son was about 3, maybe 4. And his son had somehow got up onto the back of his father's truck. But then he wanted to get down. And he's standing there on the back of the truck, Dr. Dobson said, as I walked out and saw him. He's taking his foot and trying to find the ground. And he can't find the ground. And he says, help the boy. Somebody help the boy. Well, that's kind of Peter here. He says, Lord, save me. He went right back to the point that he needed to go, where he needed to keep his vision all the time, which was the Lord. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched out his hand. So that's how close Jesus is to Peter now. He's walked far enough that he's within arm's reach. And he reaches out his hand and he catches Peter. And they ask him, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. And then something unusual happens. Peter walked on the water a second time. He's out with Jesus, away from the boat. He's sinking. Now, how's he going to get back? Jesus throw him over his shoulder? No. They went back to the boat, because at verse 32, and when they had gotten into the boat, they were evidently some distance away, and they walked back to the boat. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Peter walked on the water twice. Nobody else did. Now, I like to think that many of us have walked on water. Many of us have fallen on water, because it's called ice. But it's not the same thing as what was here. That was liquid. We walk on solid, frozen water. I know, keep my day job. Jokes just don't work with me. All right, let's continue on. What else did Peter do? We know that Peter confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. And when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus looked at him and said, this is the confession that we're talking about. This is what the rock is. Peter, you're not the rock. Upon this rock, upon what? Upon Peter's confession that Christ was the Son of God. He said, upon this rock. And we go back to that earlier thing that we had on here. Let me go back, wrong way. Where we looked at the words, Petros and Petra. Jesus said, you are Petros, a piece of rock. But upon the Petra, your confession that I am the Son of the living God, and he will build his church. So he confessed God, Christ as the Son of God. Continuing on. Shortly after this, we find that after Peter has made the confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus has to rebuke him. Because Jesus had told him, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed. And Peter says, uh-uh. No, Lord. We're not going to let that happen. That's where Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter had met one time, opened his mouth, and said the smartest thing he could have ever said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he turned around and said one of the dumbest things he could have ever said. No, we're not going to let you die. And Jesus rebuked him. He was one that saw the transfiguration with James and John. We could go into the conversation about the transfiguration, and there was another spot where Peter opened his mouth and he should have just kept it shut. And then later, at the time of the Passover, Jesus is going around and washing the disciples' feet, and Peter pulls his feet back. Question, how many of you have ever washed anybody's feet other than your own? How many times have you ever let someone wash your feet? Well, the apostles were. When he came to Peter, Peter says, no, not going to happen. Now, why wouldn't Peter want that to happen? Because this was the Son of God. He's not supposed to be wrapped up, dressed like a servant, on the ground, washing my feet. Peter says, no, it's not going to happen. Jesus says, if it doesn't happen, you're not going to have any part of the kingdom with me. And Peter says, wash not only my feet, but my hands, my head. Just give me a bath. And Jesus says, you don't need the bath. Yeah, Peter was quite an individual. And then we go to what Peter is probably one of the things he's best known for, his denial of Christ. Jesus told him, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. And I came across an interesting thing on this that I've posted on here. That cock crow terminology was a term that they used in their country there where they lived in Judea. It did not necessarily refer to just a rooster crowing, although we know in this case there was one rooster that crowed. And then when Peter saw that the second time the rooster crowed, that's when he looked at Jesus and he went out and went away bitterly and cried. But Kaufman mentions the fact that the cock crow in a place like Jerusalem was at that time always began with one or two and then swelled into a mighty chorus of hundreds or even thousands of roosters, uniting to produce a phenomenon simply called the cock crow. Tying into what Jesus had said, when the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. You ever been around the fairgrounds in the mornings? Been around the barn where the chickens are at? And you hear the roosters? Yeah. The one of them will start, and pretty soon they'll all get going. They'll all get going. If you live around, if you've got them on your place, if you raise them, if you've got more than one rooster, you know what that's all about. Interesting how Jesus knew what was going to happen and knew what to call it, because it was a normal thing of that day and age. Peter? Well, he cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest, and then he ran away when Christ was arrested. John 20:20, he doubted. Now, we oftentimes get all over Thomas, and I know you've heard me talk about Thomas doubting, and I say he's not the only one that doubted. When you look at the 20th chapter of John, verse 20, when Jesus appeared to the 10, Thomas wasn't there. Judas was dead. So the 10 that remained there when Jesus appeared to them, he said, peace be with you. Why? Because it was afraid. And then it says he showed them his hands and he showed them his side. Why? To give them proof of who he was. So he had doubt as well as far as who Jesus was. Then when we get to the 21st chapter of John, this is after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We find Peter had gone back to fishing. He had gone back to fishing because that's what he knew. That's what he was comfortable doing with his life. And he had gone back, and some of the other apostles who had not been fishermen that were there with him. When you get up into the 21st chapter there of John, verse 15 through 23, we find Jesus talks to him, takes him aside. Peter, I need to ask you something. Do you love me? And he asked that question three different times in three different fashions, and we won't take the time to break down those words of love. Each one was meaning something more serious, to the point that Peter was about ready to break, and he probably emotionally, to the point that he went, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. That's when Jesus says, feed my sheep. Take care of them. And when he asked about John, or who he believed to be John, Jesus said, you don't worry about him. You don't worry about any of the other apostles. take care of yourself, Peter. And Peter, just like us, that was a big enough job to do. Most of the time, if we take care of ourselves, and we watch what we say, we watch what we do, and we do what we should and don't do what we shouldn't, everything will work out all right. And the same thing held true with Peter. Continuing on, Acts chapter 2, we find Peter preaching the first gospel sermon. We know that Peter healed others, and others had fallen dead at his feet in Ananias and Sapphira in Acts the 5th chapter. In the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, we find where Peter and the apostles met the apostle Paul, but this time is still known as Saul, after his conversion. They were skeptical, but they met with him. Then when we get into Galatians chapter 2, we find where the apostle Paul had to chastise Peter. Remember I said just a minute ago, if Peter just did what he was supposed to, everything would be okay. Well, here's a case where he didn't. Here's a case where Peter became a bigot, if you will. You see, he was with the Gentiles, those who were not Jews, and he was with some Jews, and they were having a good time, talking, fellowshipping. But it said when there were some that came from Jerusalem, Peter separated himself from the Gentiles, for those who were not Jewish. And he separated himself, and he stayed with those who were Jewish. And Paul called him on the carpet about it. He said, "No, Peter, you know better than this. You know better than this." So what can we say about Peter? Well, later on he wrote the book of 1st and 2nd Peter. And in that time, Peter commended Paul in his teachings that he had written. He said, sometimes they're a little difficult to understand, but he's got teachings you need to hear. So what did Simon Peter go from? Well, he went from Simon, the hearer, to Peter, the small rock. From a fisherman to fishers of men. From a coward who at Jesus' arrest followed at a distance to courageous, to where he stood up and gave the first gospel sermon. From proud, where he said, "You will never wash my feet," to a humble individual. When Cornelius came to him and bowed down, Peter said, "Get up, I'm just a man like you." From unlearned to enlightened. The Sanhedrin knew that they were unlearned. What was Peter when he started out? A fisherman. Now, you know, I don't want anybody that's a fisherman to take be insulted by saying that. But the Sanhedrin knew there his knowledge of the scriptures probably was limited. Oftentimes history would tell us fishermen were of a rougher breed, those who did it for a full-time living. And the Sanhedrin knew that they were unlearned and ignorant, but they realized they were enlightened because they had been with Jesus. He went from being confident in himself, where he told Jesus, "I will never stumble, I will never go against you," to where he was confident when he said, "Let the house of Israel know assuredly that this God has made Jesus Christ, whom you have crucified, Lord and Christ," on the day of Pentecost. From reckless, where he pulled a sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, to fearless, where later, standing before the Jews, he said, "We must obey God rather than man." Peter. You could probably say, well, Daryl, you missed this point, Daryl, you missed that point. And you're right. There's a lot more things we could talk about Peter. But there's one thing that I am very confident in. Nowhere in God's holy word is it hinted to that Peter was ever called a pope or that he was head of the denomination known as the Catholic Church. To those who teach that, to those that believe that, that's an outright lie. That's an outright lie. Peter was not the first pope, never was a pope. He was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he followed him till his death. And you know, some of Peter can be seen in all of us. Some of Peter can be seen in all of us. Stop and think about some of the things that we talked about. The things that you know that I never mentioned. Are any of those parts of Peter in your life? Are any of those parts of Peter in the way that you lived in the past? Or maybe like Peter, you changed from those things to the things that he did from Acts chapter 2 and on as he followed the Lord and did his will. Hopefully you can say that you have done as Peter said you should do. When on Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, he looked at the people that were standing out before him and he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Have you done what Peter said? Have you done that? If you've never done what Peter said, to repent and be baptized, then you're not a follower of the Lord God. You're living your own life and doing your own thing. Perhaps you have, but as life has gone on, things have not always been what you wanted. And perhaps you've just given up hope and live life your way. Well, then you need to get yourself back in line with the Lord God, doing his will. This morning, as we offer the invitation, as Tom comes to lead us, we would ask that you look at your life, if you need to change it, to get your life in line with the Lord's, we ask that you would come as we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day. Coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be pardoned right and left, are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready?
While we prepare our minds for Lord's Supper, let's turn to 150. 150.
We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld that cottage home in that despised the Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains. Thou Son of God, but we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains. Thou Son of God, we saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gaze not in the open tomb where once thy man gold body lay, nor saw the end that upper room, nor met thee on the open way. But we believe that angel said, why seek the living with the dead? But we believe that angel said, why seek the living with the dead? We walk not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wandering view, then low to earth all prostrate end. But we that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies, but we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies.
Everyone have their communion, if not, give them 51.
Daryl's talking in his sermon how Peter told Christ, we're not going to let you die. Peter at the time like us. Why would God let his son die? That's so contrary to human thought, to human, the way we think. In fact, we sometimes think, well, we're going to live forever. Well, we're not. But we sometimes have that feeling or that mindset. But God sent his son here to die for a sinful world. Something so hard for our brains to really imagine that God would set a plan up such as that. But he did. And we need to be very thankful for that. This morning we're here to remember that death. Bread represents Jesus' body was put upon the cross. Fruit of the vine represents his blood. We need to be very, very thankful for that sacrifice. Let us go to God in prayer. Thank for the bread. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you. We thank you for your Son, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Help us to understand that your ways are not ours, that your ways are perfect and ours are not. We ask you to bless this bread that represents your Son's body that was given on the cross for each and every one of us. Help us keep that deep in our hearts. Help us always to understand that. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. In like manner, let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we thank you again for your Son. Bless this fruit of the vine that represents his blood, precious blood that was shed on the cross for each and every one of us. Thank you for your Son's sacrifice. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another part of worship is giving. This being a convenient time, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for all the blessings of life that you have so richly bestowed upon us. We thank you for all that you do for us. Help us always be mindful of the things you do, that we don't take them for granted as we sometimes do. Help us to be a cheerful giver as we give back to thee. May the things we do here be well-pleasing in your sight. Again, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Brother Mark has announcements.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service. And in the way of announcements this morning, we especially want to remember all the ones that's on our prayer list, the ones that's going through the different ailments that they've had and surgeries and procedures and illnesses and all that. We remember all them. Good to see that we have Dave with us this morning and Bonnie, and of course Holly's with us this morning. It's good to see all of them with us on their road to recovery, and good to see them here. Of course, we're going to remember our Bible studies on Sunday morning at 9:45, and the ladies get together on the phone. They get together at 5 o'clock on the phone. We're encouraging the ladies to get there on there for that. Also, we have a midweek Bible study on Wednesday night. It's at 6:30. Encourage you to come for that. The church youth group, they're going to be getting together, and they'll be the next time will be April the 11th, and that'll be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. out here at our fellowship hall. I encourage all the youth to come for that. Of course, there's several area events going on, and we got a couple flyers here that Ernie had given me, and there's a couple things coming up. There's going to be a gospel meeting coming up there in Beverly, and that'll be April the 20th through 23rd. And there's different speakers each evening and time. So I'll put that on the bulletin board so you'll see that. Also, we have an area-wide sing coming up, and that'll be down in McConnellsville at there on 7th Street, and that'll be on April the 25th, and that'll be at 7 o'clock at night. And that'll be a Friday evening. Like I said, we have different events going on, especially also the ladies have a devotion. They get together on the phone for every other Saturday, and that'll be the next one will be Saturday, April the 12th, and that'll be from 8:30 to 9:30 that morning. Also, I was given a note that if we have any upcoming graduates coming up. The note says the church will be purchasing Bibles again this year for our high school graduates. Please let Jim or Marcia know of those students who will be graduating. We're planning on having a Bible ready to be passed out by the third week in May before graduation occurs. So if there's anybody has any graduates or anything like that, get with Jim or Marcia so they can make sure that they have that Bible for them. I believe that's everything I have. Is there anything that we need to add or correct, or maybe I forgot? Or yeah, this one here has a note. It's the church is located in behind the Citizen Bank, right off of 60 there. Yeah, and it's pretty hidden back here, from if I remember right. And Holly's, she had some technical issues with the bulletin, so I don't know how many. You didn't get it. There'll be some. So, but she had some issues with getting them printed.
Well, we have our gospel meeting coming up, first of May 4th through the 6th. Tony,
control. If there's nothing else, I'll turn it over to Brother Ty, and I'll ask you to stand at this time for the closing prayer.
Dear God in heaven, we humbly come together today thanking you for the opportunity to worship and sing songs unto you. God, we thank you for the lesson that Daryl took the time to prepare to us, the word of truth, that we're able to take from what we learned from his lesson today, that we continue to grow as Christians and that we walk in the heavenly light. Lord, we ask you to be with those that weren't able to be with us here today, those that have been dealing with various health ailments, those that deal with recent test procedures and surgeries, that they continue to recover from these surgeries. And we also ask you to be with those many mentioned in our prayer list. Please be with them during their challenging times and provide comfort. Lord, we ask you to be with our congregation here in New Lex, that with our upcoming gospel meeting, that we're able to reach others and continue to help your kingdom grow. God, we ask you to be with us as we go our separate ways, that we continue to walk in the light. And Lord, when we fall short, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.